Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observer's Daily Observations podcast. Welcome back from the slightly extended holiday weekend of last week. Today is Monday. It is the 28th of December. This, at least for a few more days, is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Day old breads and pastries.
All right, so it's gonna be that show today.
Cool.
So Brent, I'd like to ask you a little bit. There have been some headlines recently about Bitcoin, so I thought we should talk a little bit about Bitcoin. Let's start with sort of what it is, because I think a lot of people hear Bitcoin in conjunction with blockchain a lot, or hear the word cryptocurrency, and it sounds really intimidating. So can you tell us what it is?
Sure. First of all, I should state that I do have a very small amount of Bitcoin. And a couple of other cryptocurrencies too, as is the case with anything that I own. It does not affect what I say about it, but take that with a grain of salt. Obviously, you should always take things with a grain of salt, especially in the cryptocurrency world. So, like, I don't know, isn't there like a running joke? Like, how do you know if someone's into Bitcoin? Don't worry, they'll tell you.
Oh, they'll tell you. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of, I guess that's really, I first heard that as a vegan joke, but it probably applies to the crypto world too. So Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. Bitcoin is the granddaddy of, or the daddy, or I don't know, whatever. It's the main, really, it's the main cryptocurrency, but there are a ton of them.
Okay.
And there have been a ton of different cryptocurrencies for a while, but now we're actually seeing new cryptocurrencies enter the market that actually try to solve problems and try to bridge some gaps between the traditional finance world and the world of cryptocurrency, and also try to add new features and take advantage of what a blockchain can do.
Okay. So just let me get this clear. So Bitcoin is like the Band-Aid or the Kleenex of cryptocurrency. Like, most people have probably heard of Bitcoin, but Bitcoin is just one of many different cryptocurrencies. So they're not all Bitcoin. Well, there are other kinds as well.
There are other cryptocurrencies, but okay. it is the 800-pound gorilla in terms of at least value and sort of mind share.
Okay.
So, for instance, I'm looking at the top cryptocurrencies in terms of market cap. Bitcoin's market cap, meaning how much all of the Bitcoins that exist are worth, it's $504 billion, a little under, but you know, roughly $504
wow.
billion. Dollars.
Okay.
Now, the number two, well, but that's not a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of money, but it's a relatively small market.
Okay.
And it doesn't, and because it's a relatively small market, it doesn't take all that much money to necessarily influence its direction. So that's been kind of a thing from the get-go, but it is now more money, of course, than it was just a few months ago, because Bitcoin has rocketed. It's currently at $27,120, whereas just a few months ago it was you know, $10,000. At the beginning of the year, I think it was closer to six or something.
Okay.
But if we look at the number two cryptocurrency, it's Ethereum, and Ethereum has dramatically increased in price too, but its market share, or its market cap, is only $84 billion. So it's a huge drop off. And then if you go to number three, which is Tether, it drops down to $20 billion. So a huge, those are both 4x drops. And then the next one is, I think it's Ripple, that's at $13 billion. And then the fifth one is Litecoin, that's at $8 billion. Right. So these markets aren't huge in terms of global finance.
Okay.
So Bitcoin is by far the biggest one. Bitcoin's market cap is probably, I haven't done this math, but Yeah, it's probably four times what the entire rest of the market is worth.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So, I think you actually asked me what it was.
Yeah. which is why, like, this is the part I think a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their heads around, is like what it is. Like, it's not a coin in itself, but it is money.
It's virtual. It can be used as money. That is a much more accurate way of putting it. If you attach value to something and then you can trade that something from one person to another thing, it becomes a form of money, whatever it is.
Okay.
So with Bitcoin does have an attached value, and it does get, it can be traded from one person to another. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it can get used as money. But, you know, really, Bitcoin at this point is much more of a store of value than it is like the kind of thing that people are using to buy stuff on a regular basis.
Okay.
And a store of value, like gold, is a store of value. People don't, generally speaking, walk into a store and drop a gold coin down on the counter and then get some change.
Okay.
Right. So, I mean, Bitcoin is probably more spendable than gold, but it is still not a great spendable thing. None of the cryptocurrencies are a great spendable thing yet, for whatever that's worth. But they can certainly be used. I don't know. They certainly can be used to transfer value from one person to another, but it's like not like it's not a thing that you can use to just like, you know, go buy a pizza like you could, like the infamous Bitcoin pizza, which was the first transaction that happened using Bitcoin. It took thousands of Bitcoins to buy that pizza.
Okay.
So yeah, think about how much money that's worth today. All right. So what's been happening for the last few months is that Bitcoin has been rising dramatically. I think it's Bitcoin. We will get what I want. I want a percentage for 2020, 160%.
Wow. Okay.
In 2020, it's 190% since March, for whatever that's worth. Actually, that was back when I think it's more like 260% or something like that it's risen this year. And so the real question to me, as someone who has a very small amount of Bitcoin, is whether or not this is another FOMO bubble, fear of missing out bubble, like it was in 2017, because Bitcoin famously rose to just under $20,000 in a period of just a few months in 2017, and then it crashed.
Spectacularly, if I recall.
Spectacularly, yeah. That got back down to as little as $3,000 briefly, and then kind of had this slow creep back up until about 6 months ago, when it started increasing faster and faster, and has radically increased just in the last three or four weeks.
Okay.
And the FOMO bubble, we saw this with the tech stock bubble of 1999.
Sure.
Where people were buying stocks, retail investors in particular were buying stocks because people were buying stocks.
Right.
And in 2017, people were piling money into Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies because people were piling money into Bitcoin and other
cryptocurrencies. Everybody bought Bitcoin because everybody bought Bitcoin.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a question for you about that.
Sure.
In a minute, because first, I'd like to take a minute and tell you about our sponsor this week. And our sponsor this week is Clean My Mac X. It's an app from MacPaw Software. It's an all-in-one cleaning and optimizing utility for your Mac. So Clean My Mac will kick off maintenance scripts for you. It can delete unneeded temporary files, and it'll do lots more. It can keep your new Mac speedy or give a little pep to your older machine, Clean My Mac X is happy to help. Yes, it's X, not 10. Smart Scan is part of it. It's the primary piece of the app that I use most anyway. It looks for old log files and cache files that you don't need. It will do a quick malware check, and it runs a little bit of optimization in the background. It does it in a few minutes, so you don't even have to spend like a whole bunch of time making sure your Mac is being maintained. You can get a good look at everything running on your system in a much nicer way than Activity Monitor gives you, and it's compatible with Big Sur. So if you got a new Mac for Christmas, you can still use Clean My Mac X. Learn more and download your copy free from macpaw.app/TDO. That's macpaw.app/TDO to get Clean My Mac X. And we'd like to thank MacPaw for sponsoring the show today. Now, here's my question, Brian. You were talking about the amount of money and people putting money into Bitcoin. So do you buy, and you know, you said market cap earlier too. So is this like stock that you can buy, or you know, how does one get Bitcoin of their own, I guess would be.
Right. So there are exchanges. There's, you know, a number of ways one can get Bitcoin. You can have a friend that will sell you his or her Bitcoin, or there were Bitcoin ATMs for a while. Place where basically you could go and either deposit cash and then send Bitcoin to your wallet, or sometimes the credit card, but the credit card companies tend to frown on that sort of thing. And then the way most people are getting it is through exchanges. So in that regard, it's kind of like a stock in that you have an exchange and you can go deposit dollars or euros or pounds or, you know, whatever, and then trade that fiat currency for Bitcoin or another cryptocurrency.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So. And that has become easier than it was a few years ago. And part of this is that Bitcoin is becoming more regulated, which frustrates the delusional anarchist types, libertarian types who fancied that Bitcoin could basically replace government controlled fiat currencies around the world. A very, very delusional concept with pseudonymous money transactions that governments couldn't track. By and large, the American government in particular, but certainly other governments too, are sticking their fingers more and more into cryptocurrencies and giving it more regulation. And the result is that Bitcoin becomes more legitimate. It loses some of the features that sparked the original fans of this concept, it becomes more usable to other folks, including making it easier to get your money onto an exchange. There are exchanges in the U.S. where you can connect your bank account and you can move money. Coinbase is probably the most well-known of those. Kraken is another one. I think you could do the same thing with blockchain.info. They have both an online wallet service as well as an exchange that you can do. And that's been part of what has fueled this rise. But then there's also been some SEC regulations too that are making it easier for some of the Wall Street players to get involved. And that's what a lot of this current, I mentioned the FOMO bubble of 2017. It would appear as if this is not the same kind of rise. It seems to be institutional money moving into the crypto space that is driving this increase. But that doesn't mean that it won't turn into a FOMO bubble. And it doesn't mean that the Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency won't crash, or what, you know, isn't crashing as you're listening to this. That is
that's true.
How did Charlotte put it? Highly volatile. How'd you put it in the meeting?
A wildly fluctuating, highly volatile. currency, I think.
Right.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah. I do not recommend anyone get involved in the cryptocurrency space. First of all, without understanding what they're doing. But second of all, zeroly of all, without understanding that any money you put on cryptocurrency could become worthless. Mm-hmm. You could lose everything, and you could lose everything at the drop of a hat. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Dave and I have both been saying for a number of years, and you know, this 5-year period sort of moves, you know, it's an ever moving time target, but in 5 years, Bitcoin could be worth $1 million, could be worth $50,000, could be worth $20,000, it could be worth $0. And none of those all of those have a non-trivial chance of actually happening. So be careful. Mm-hmm. And I am not offering investment advice whatsoever.
Well, you are. Don't. I've heard a number of people describe this sort of thing as a donation. Think of it as money that you're just that like you will very possibly never, ever see again. So, you know, don't bet the grocery budget this week or anything like that. So,
yeah, I certainly wouldn't do that. It's a space that I'm really interested in. I think that blockchain technology has a lot of opportunities for disrupting a lot of different aspects of daily living, a daily business in particular. And smart contracts are a big thing. Information being stored, accessible, secure, publicly viewable, and yet secure. Like, you know, if we can move titles, I've talked about this before on the show. If we could move the world of titles from like automobile titles and land titles, land deeds, if we could move those to a publicly accessible blockchain, maybe like when you go and buy a house, you wouldn't have to pay a ridiculous amount of thousands of dollars just to insure against the chance that someone with a deed isn't going to come by and say, no, it turns out I own this property. Mm-hmm. Right. These are things that can be solved with blockchain, having your medical history, your own medical records on a blockchain is something that could be very useful to both people and the medical industry. There are lots of other things that are being done too. There's a new cryptocurrency called Filecoin, which is supposed to basically let you store your information, your data, and in particular, I think they're aiming it at like the science world, the world of science, mm-hmm. and have it be stored on this Filecoin blockchain. I don't really know I've got some questions about it to be sure, but it's an interesting idea.
Yeah,
it's a very interesting idea, and it's something that they might be able to make a dent in the world.
Yeah, and blockchain is a completely separate technology that goes along with Bitcoin because that's how it's sort of managed, I guess, is by using blockchain to tell like to authenticate you, and you have this many Bitcoins and whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Blockchain is the fundamental underlying technology underneath almost all cryptocurrency that I know of. That is essentially what makes it a cryptocurrency. So the blockchain is generally speaking publicly accessible, yet you privately, like, you know, people can see what's in your wallet, mm-hmm. but they don't necessarily know that it's your wallet.
Okay.
And different cryptocurrencies, different blockchain implementations have different aspects of that. But that's certainly the case with Bitcoin. You can use the Bitcoin blockchain to see how much Bitcoin is in every single address that has ever been created. Mm-hmm. But you just don't necessarily know who owns that address. You don't necessarily know which wallet that address is in.
Okay. So if there's a million wallets, I can go see the contents of a million wallets. This has 10 and this has half of one and this has and all the numbers in between. But I can't see Brian's is this and Dave's is this and Kelly's is this. And down
unless
the line.
You happen to know the Brian's and Dave's and Kelly's addresses.
OK.
And don't misunderstand the NSA in particular and probably more aspects of the U.S. government. know who is attached to a whole lot of addresses.
Sure.
And yeah, and I mean that's like the pseudonymity of Bitcoin is largely a thing in the past, though not entirely.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it is. It is all interesting, and it's been really interesting to see it rising. I think another couple of $1,000 got added to Bitcoin over the weekend, and that was probably mostly retail investors. And so I was reading some speculation online that Monday would come along and the pros were going to,
when all the grownups came back to work, it was all going to fluctuate.
There would be a big correction. And we haven't really seen that so far. I mean, it still could happen later today. I don't know. Yeah. It could happen tomorrow.
Yeah, it's still Monday morning as we record this. So for another couple of hours yet. So like we got some time for today to fix that if that's what's going to happen. So I think this is all really interesting. So like Brian said, there are faucets and Brian has a guide to those. There will be a link to that in the show notes. Oh yeah, you did.
But it's true.
Oh, I thought you mentioned briefly there were faucets. Okay.
Nope, didn't mention it.
There are faucets. And there's a guide. So go learn more about faucets by reading Brian's faucet guide. That's what I'll tell you. If you have more questions about this, if you want to hear more about Bitcoin, you're more than welcome to let us know that. We take your feedback because we want to make the show that you want to hear. So you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, and by leaving comments in the show notes. So Brian, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there. We'll be right back.